lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The scriptures tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, as obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, we're to be children who obey. This is speaking, of course, to the Christian, but you know, the unsaved person, they have a responsibility to the Lord. We're put here to actually bring glory and honor to Him. But as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we're looking here and the Lord speaks to our hearts through the scriptures, and it says and teaches us that we're to be children who obey. We're not to pattern our life like it was before we became a Christian, when we didn't know better, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the verse goes on to say that we've been called to be holy in everything that we do. Why? Because He's holy. Well, why be holy? Because the scriptures say so. In Leviticus chapter 11, you can go back and read that in connection with 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. It says, be holy, for I am holy. This is a biblical principle that is for every person who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, the Bible in several places tells us that we are to be holy because God is holy. He's our Father, that is, for those of us who are saved. He is our Heavenly Father once we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. And we need to live our lives, in other words, our testimony, should be as one who does know Jesus Christ as Savior. We're here to present Him. We are ambassadors for Christ as Christians, and we need to be presenting our Savior as Lord. And as we do that, people look at our lives and are actually doing They are actually looking at what you say through your life. In other words, are you real? Are you doing what God wants you to do with your life? People can see whether or not you are real. They can know, once again, by watching you. And that's sad because many people, many Christians, are not living for the Lord as they should. And the unsaved world looks at that person and says, well, if they're going to heaven, I'm as good as they are, and so that means I can go to heaven. No, it doesn't mean that. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven. But if you've not trusted Him as Savior, you're not going to heaven. The only way you're going to heaven is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Quit looking at man. Quit looking at people, and start looking to the Lord. Christian, you need to be living your life as God wants you to live it, not as you want to live it. But I believe you will want to live the Christian life once you get into the Word. You study the Word, and you let the Lord lead you in this life. Well, now in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, it says this, and this now is continuing the thought from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and so forth. It says, now, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, Christian, the Lord gives us instruction in his word, and I believe that what it's telling us here in these verses I read, if you pray to the Father who judges every person's work, every man's work, he judges everybody without prejudice. We're to live our pilgrimage here in reverential fear. It's not the fear that God's going to kill us. It's a reverential fear. It's not a fear that God's going to do us harm. It's a reverential fear of knowing who God is and realizing who he is. He is the Creator. He's the one who sent Christ to die for us on the cross. We're to live in reverential fear, and we're to live this way because you know you were not redeemed. You were not made acceptable with God or to God with contaminated things of the world like silver and gold. Those things are going to pass away. You can't buy your way into heaven. We know how we were saved, and it's also not from proud behavior, and that means good works. You can't go to heaven, you can't buy your way in, and you can't go there by good works. There's no way you can work your way into heaven according to the Scriptures. We just read that, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21. We are accepted because we accepted the truth. We did not accept the truth from our ancestors, according to verse 18. That means tradition of our fathers. In other words, passed down from generation to generation. It becomes corrupted, and sometimes, and you know, we look at this, and sometimes someone says, well, I believe you're going to go to heaven this way. You know, Grandma did it this way, Grandpa did it this way, and if it was good enough for Grandpa, I'm going to do it. Well, that's not good enough. You must do it God's way. You can't do it man's way. You've got to listen to the voice of God. Now, if your grandma and grandpa believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepted him as Savior, then you need to do it that way. But if they say any other way, if there's any other way to heaven according to what they say, you need to shun it. And you need to go God's way. You need to go the scriptural way, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't go by what your ancestors have said. You need to go with what the Word of God says, what God says. See, we're made acceptable according to these scriptures that we've just read. We're made acceptable to God by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He was offered as a lamb without imperfection and without sin, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And the offering of Christ was determined in advance before the creation of the world, before the creation of the earth. And he was made known to you in these last times according to 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20. And it's because of Christ that you believe in God. Only through Jesus Christ can we actually believe in the one true God. Now, I hear a lot of people saying, yes, I believe in the Creator. I believe in God. But what God are you believing in? What God are you trusting in? There's only one God, and that is the Creator of the world and all things. He created all things. Remember this. Christ is also God. And unless we receive him as God, unless we receive him as the Son of God, as Jesus Christ the Savior, the Messiah of the world, unless we receive him through his blood, then we're not going to see the real God. It's because of Christ that you can believe in the true God. Well, we keep reading in those verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, and we also see that there that God resurrected Christ from the dead. Some people say, well, Buddha was a prophet, Muhammad was a great prophet, and Jesus was a great prophet. Well, there's a difference here. Jesus Christ, first of all, is the Son of God. Jesus Christ died on the cross, but he did not remain in the grave. He came out of the grave. He was resurrected on that third day. He's alive now, and he's seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for you and me who know him as Savior. These other so-called great prophets are dead. They're gone, and they're burning in the deepest regions of hell today because they did not receive Jesus as Savior. They did not receive the witness of God, the true God, to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've led many people astray, and they're burning in hell today because they did not receive Jesus as Savior. Well, notice verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says this, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." I believe what the Scripture is saying here is, since your souls have been cleansed of impurities by doing the truth through the Holy Spirit's leading, you have become sincere. You are able to have a sincere love of the brethren, according to verse 22. Well, that unfeigned love is not a pretend love. It's a true love for the brethren. You are to love each other intensely without impure motives. In other words, it's not wanting something back because you love. You love because you have been saved. You do know Christ as your Savior. It's not a pretend love. That verse once again says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love." That's an unpretentious love of the brethren. It's not a pretend love. "See that you love another with a pure heart fervently." Give it all you've got. It's not pretend, it's real. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed." There, that is, again, not of corruptible seed. Remember, we read that in verse 17 and 21. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." You have been born again, not of contaminated seed, but uncontaminated seed through the word of God, which lives and will never die, according to verse 23. Well, now, in verse 24, it goes on to say, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." See, every living thing is just like grass. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And the importance of man is just like the prettiest part of the grass, the importance of man. In other words, we see the pretty part, but as the grass fades away, the pretty part of the flower disappears. So does man. Once again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24 says, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass." It goes, "The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says this, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We think we're something when we're not. We're nothing without our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This life is going to go. It's only the life that we have in Christ that's going to last forever and for eternity. If you do not know him today, you need to recognize that you are a sinner, and that without him, you are not going to go to heaven. You need him as your Savior today. Receive him as God. Receive him as the Son of God. Receive him as Savior. Ask him to come into your heart. "Lord, I know I can't save myself. I want to be saved." The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you'll ask him, he'll save you today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.